Today on Real Radio.
He says, if the Lord God is God, worship him. But if Baal is God, then worship him. Choose. Then Joshua 24. If the Lord God's God, he almost echoes the same thing. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember that? It all matters in where you direct your worship.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at the first part of chapter 4, where Messiah was tempted directly by Satan himself. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from this passage called Temptation, What Are We to Do? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When I pray like that aggressively or preemptively, I'm attacking. I see rockets go off in my head. I mean, I see a cruise missile. Lord, I pray that you would just stop the forces of darkness against the people at Calvary Chapel. That's how I pray. Lord, and God. You say, Jack, you're nuts. Well, in Ephesians 6, verse 16, it says that we are to attack, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, of Satan. The word is belos in Greek. The word translated from the Greek into the English is the word missile. To quench the burning, blazing, fiery attack that Satan launches against us. What's it like? It's like a burning missile. Don't sit there and take it. Oh. Pray one back. Get on your knees, pray, fight in the Spirit. It's awesome. And you know what? I'm convinced when we sit there, Lord, oh, I think he just goes, yes. When we're crying out to him, Lord God. I wonder what that, wouldn't you love to see that when you pray? Have you ever seen a crowd of like little antelope or something in Africa on TV and the mother goes, meh, and out of the 10,000 little fawns or whatever you call them, the one comes running up to the mom. Don't you think if God put that in an animal, that when you cry out, God, Lord, yes. I know this to be true. It's awesome. Know the enemy's strengths, yes. What can he use against us? Well, he'll attack us. Doubt, fear, all these things. But you know what? Not to worry. We can counter back when he launches these missiles. Secondly, what can Satan actually do to us? Again, I mentioned a moment ago when he says, all authority, all this glory, it's all mine. I can give it to whomever I want. That's true, but what can he actually do to us? Church, listen, remember, it's going to be father filtered what he does. Can I watch this? You say, Jack, how can that be father filtered? When I went online and looked at this dirty website, well, you knucklehead. Satan put the thought in your head. Satan tempted you. And you thought to yourself, well, you're falling for it. Did God know that was going to happen? Yes. Why didn't God stop it? Because God is building you up in Christ. He wants you to scream and cry out to the Word of God and the will of God. What are you doing with it? You're going toward the very thing that could hurt you instead of obeying the one who loves you. God doesn't make robots. He doesn't tempt anybody with evil or with sin. Satan's quite able to do that. What's revealed is the fact that we would yield or lean toward what Satan's offering. Just keep this in mind next time he comes knocking at our door, is that what Satan's offering is very temporary. Look what he says. He sounds very authoritative. I've got all authority. I'll give you everything I got. Here's the question of somebody who's thinking. How long will it last? I've got all authority. You guys, the moment from Jesus and Satan encountered this battle, he had about 3 years left. Because Satan was going to be defeated at the cross. I'll give you everything. Church, listen, isn't that how he speaks to us in this world? I will give you everything. Look, you can have it all. Ask how long. Some investors invest for 5 minutes. Some investors invest for a lifetime. They don't care as long as they make what? Money. What do you think Satan cares? I'll give you all of this. All of it? Yes. It may last for a half an hour. Know your enemy, know his strengths, know his powers, know what he can use against us, and know what he can actually do. He's very limited. He just repackages things quite effectively. Here's the amazing thing about it, you guys. God the Father in Psalm 2, 1,000 years before this recorded event of Luke 4, in Psalm chapter 2, God the Father announces to God the Son, the Messiah Jesus, that after the millennium, or I should say before the millennium age would begin, the Father would give the Son all the kingdoms of the world forever. Jesus knew that verse. Satan comes with a temporary offer. You don't think that was a real temptation, though. You're wrong. That it was not real. It was real because Jesus was in great pain and great suffering. And so he's attempting to get Jesus to look at it. And before we press on to the third point, you know the Antichrist. You know all about him, right? Satan's going to offer the Antichrist this temptation. What do you think he's going to say to it? Oh, he's going to take it. According to the book of Revelation, he's going to take it. Hook, line, and sinker. Point number 3 is found in verse 7, temptation. And what are we to do? You must know your enemy's weaknesses. We know his strengths. We are to know his weaknesses. Number 1 weakness of Satan is that he's got an overdeveloped ego, that's for sure. I mean, he's impressed with himself. He says, therefore, if you will worship before me. Can you believe he's saying this to God Almighty? Isn't this kind of weird? It seems weird for me to say it. It's like, come on, Satan, you're not that twisted, are you? This is real. He is standing before God in human skin. And he's trying to pit the Son against the Father. Oh, I've got all authority. What did Jesus say to that? Anything? Not a word. It's true. You can have it. Just worship me. Freaky. You can almost see like drool coming out of his mouth. You know? This is sick. Therefore, if you will worship before me, the ego, pride, self, and self-centeredness. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, there are six things that God hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to God. Number 1 at the top of the list is ego or pride. God says, I hate pride. Why? Because first of all, it is stupid. Stupid. To think that as a mere human, I have something to be proud about? When I consider the eternal realm and God in the scope of all that is forever, what am I? It's ignorant. Think about it. Now watch this. Satan is the personification of pride and ego. Self-centeredness is where it comes from. Everything in Satan's mind, from what we see of him in the Bible, what he says and what's recorded of him, is self-centered from start to finish. I'm going to ask you to jot down these verses. We have no time to look them up. They're huge, by the way. Read Isaiah chapter 14 and read Ezekiel chapter 28. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. Why? That will tell you very covert, top secret, classified information about Satan. It's available for everybody to read, but very few people read it. I'll give you a little bit of a stimulator. In Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it tells you about the nature of Satan, who, first of all, was named what? Lucifer. Very good. Lucifer, son of the morning. You were perfect since the day you were created. Yes, he was created. Colossians chapter 1 says so. You were perfect in all of your ways, and you were the epitome of wisdom, O Lucifer. And you led the stars of God in worship. Satan was the worship leader in heaven, Lucifer. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Especially, read it to your young kids. They'll see this much more clearly than you and I do as older people. Almost said old people, but I meant to say older people. Kids see this perfectly. There the scriptures will tell you that your hands, Lucifer, were like tambourines. What? Your sides, they're pipes. He's music. Isn't it weird? He is a living, breathing, walking, moving music machine. And he led the angels of heaven in worship to God. Until what happened? Until pride was found in your heart. God, it says, cast him out of heaven into hell when Satan said, Lucifer said, I will be like God. Do you recognize that kind of talk? He used it in the Garden of Eden. He got tripped up by his own sin. What was his doctrine? I want to be like God. Megalomaniac. I want to be like God. He says, it's recorded. The very words of Satan are recorded in Isaiah and Ezekiel. I want to be like God. I want to have my throne above his. I want to be like the Most High. I want to rule and reign. And God says, behold, thou art brought down to hell. And he says, in the end, the nations will look at you. They'll look at Satan and say, is this the one who caused the earth to tremble? He's become just like us. He's become as weak as us. Interesting, huh? Amazing. Satan is possessed by his ego. And he plays upon people. He knows how powerful that is. Also, look with me. He says, all will be yours. Satan has no sense of reality. He really believes this because he's the father of lies. And if you tell a lie long enough, what does it happen? Nobody else believes it. But if you tell a lie long enough, what happens to you? You believe it. It's dangerous. All will be yours. Sounds like a game show host. Jesus, just come forward and all will be yours. He's out of control. He has no sense of reality. And he offers these things, and it's all yours. It's going to satisfy you. But it's not true, and it's not real. As I mentioned, we saw Chronicles of Narnia, and you know, Hollywood, that area, it's at the El Capitan Theater. So it's very nice, and I saw a lot of you there in line, and that was neat. A lot of Christians seeing the movie. But limousines going by on Hollywood Boulevard. Now, the limousines that are going by, there's some of them that are going by very fast, and the windows are all tight, rolled up, and they just fly by. Then there are the ones where the windows are down, music's blaring out of them, and there's people hanging out of them. Well, what do you automatically know? That whoever's in there, they're not for real. If anybody's a celebrity or powerful, they're in the one that's rolled up speeding by. The people, though, that watch, and this is how Satan works. Hey, look, a limo. All right, come on, let's get in. We're in. And you come on, turn up the music. All this music's pounding. And then the window goes down, and there's... All this look. Hey. What is that? It's not real. You're acting all cocky. You're acting like it's your limo. It's rented, for crying out loud. It's got to go back in an hour. But you're driving around like it's yours. All right. We're on our way to a big deal. It's hilarious. It's rented. Satan does that. Hey, you want to take a drive? You want to take a spin? It's like going, you know, almost all of us could go today and take a test drive on a Ferrari or a Porsche. But it's a test drive. It's not real. Unless you can buy it. It's fake. Satan does that. He comes and he's got an altered reality and he says, hey, take this. Look, look, look. And you're going, all right. Yahoo! It's only going to last about an hour. Oh, yeah, but if I can just go to bed with him or her or them, or if I can just drop that pill or take that trip or do this thing, oh, I'll make it. You've been lied to, you're being cheated, and you're going to wake up. And Satan says, come on, take a ride. Fourth and final point, we'll end with this. It's in verse 8. We must know our place in this battle. This is good news. Temptation, what are we to do? Hey, know your place in this battle. Our place is hidden in Christ. Can you write that down, please, Christian? Our place is hidden in Christ. That's what the Bible says about us. Our lives are hidden in Christ. Covered, veiled. That's the beautiful thing Paul the Apostle says concerning us. He says, you and I, we do not know each other anymore after the flesh, but only after Christ. Isn't that great? I love that. Now watch this. Our place is hidden in Christ. That's how we see ourselves or place ourselves in this battle. Our place is hidden in Christ. How so? Look what Jesus says, verse 8. Jesus answers and says to Satan, get behind me, Satan. Number one, Satan is the word accuser. Lucifer is who he is. Jesus calls him Satan, accuser. Accuser? Yeah, he accuses you and I. Revelation tells us, day and night. He's always blaming us. In fact, the word is also translated Satan. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody. I know we have attorneys that attend this church. I'm not coming against you. The word accuser is also the word one who litigates. The litigant is also the word Satan. Accuser. Hey, we're suing you. That's what Satan does. God, did you see what Jack did? I'm suing him. He did this, he said that. Look, judge him. You're holy. He's a sinner. Fry him. God says, every time you tell me to look at him, I just see my son Jesus standing there. I don't even know what you're talking about. He did it. Look, he did it again. Now, I'm hidden in Christ. Now, that's a wonderful thing. Well, not only that, when Jesus says, get behind me, the word in the Greek means go to the back of the line. Isn't that a great word? All right, you, get to the back of the line. Hey, you know what, Jack did? He's this and he's that. Jesus says, go to the back of the line. And he's not asking Satan either. I love that. Back of the line. That's good news. The word means to sit down. It means to get out of the way. Now, I revel in this, Christian. It's what Jesus says. I can't go walking around saying, get behind me, Satan. Oh, get thee behind me. Get behind me. The Bible says that when Michael the archangel was fighting with Satan over the body of Moses, that's a wild story to read. Michael, who would not bring an accusation against an authority, Satan, turns to Satan and says, the Lord rebukes you, Satan. Did you hear that? I have no power. I rebuke you, thou foul spit. I can't do that. I know you see it on TV. It's not biblical. You can't do that. What I'm to do, according to the Bible, is say, the Lord rebukes you. In Jesus' name. Therein's the power. And so, Jesus says, get behind me. And Satan must comply. Our place is worshiping before the Lord. That's our place in the battle. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. What a great word. Worship. Church, Christian, listen. I asked you to raise your hands before. And I often say, you know, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. Listen, I'm trying to just see yourself where you are with God. And listen, in true Christian victory, you must be a worshiper. Now, please hear me. My voice is the worst. I'm not talking about your voice. I'm talking about your true practice of your faith in worship. The Christian who is victorious and advancing from year to year in his Christian or her Christian growth is a Christian who worships. They see the songs on the screen and they say to themselves, I'm going to memorize those words. Yes, I almost got it. Okay. God, yes, yes, that, yes, Lord, yes. And they don't care who's around. And it's not just public. It's private most often. You turn on that worship music, or maybe you're just reading a verse and you want to take that verse and make it a song to God like a little kid does. Have you ever seen little kids do that? I love my daddy. I love my mommy. Mommy and daddy, I love them so much. It's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't rhyme. Do you think that kid cares if it rhymes? You think mom and dad are blessed by the song? I can tell you what I did. You go grab a tape recorder and you record it when they're little. Do that. I love you, God. You are wonderful. Now, you know, do that private, but do it. You say, what, are you trying to be a fool? I mean, I look like a fool. Oh, stop it. That's ridiculous. All of us are fools. Get alone and worship God. The level of your commitment, the level of your devotion, the level of your seriousness with God is known by not only the angels of heaven, by your passion to worship, it's also known by the forces of hell. Satan would easily say, let's go after them. Their worship life is dry. And he'll attack. It's very, very true. And then obey God. Jesus says, it's written, you shall serve him and him only. Serve him and him only. Service to him. Serve the Lord. You and I are serving the Lord or not. I remember Mount Carmel. That's one of our stops. Awesome spot, by the way. It's one of those places where we know for a fact that that's where Elijah stood. Mount Carmel, there's a brook right there that comes out of the side of the mountain. And if you know 1 Kings 17 and 18, we go to the actual spot. It's very undeveloped. It's beautiful. What happened there? That's when he says, if the Lord God is God, worship him. But if Baal is God, then worship him. Choose. Then Joshua 24. If the Lord God's God, he almost echoes the same thing. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember that? It all matters in where you direct your worship. If you say, well, I'm not a worshiper, he answered the question. Christian, develop your worship and develop a victory.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Temptation, What Are We to Do? It's a study taken from the first part of Luke chapter 4. Now again, this is a mini-series, part of our journey through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series within a series on temptation is available in a convenient 4-CD set. In a moment, we'll tell you how to get in touch with us here at Real Radio and request it. Here's our offer. For your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the outreach of Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. Just ask for the Temptation CD series. Here's our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, and all of our contact information can be found there as well. realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.